This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and we are going to be having a wonderful program on my program called Rise this afternoon on 7 to 9 a.m. And let me tell you now, I think we are going to take you on a journey of where we often don't go and we don't know. That is where we really are going to be challenged today with the message, but we're going to be so well informed and educated by the time this program is done. We are going to really look at our spiritual identity in the Hebrew picture contained in the Old Testament. And I have Sarita Brandt in the studio with me this afternoon, and she has the Hedge Ministries. She is the founder of Hedge Ministries, and she has got so much wisdom and knowledge. And I really want you all to stay tuned. On all the holidays, we know that this is the Hebrew month 5785, and the Hebrew month of Tishri, and we need to understand the Old Testament so that we can really enjoy the fulfillment of the New Testament. But Sarita is going to join us straight afterwards, and then I'm going to introduce her properly because she's got a lot of wisdom, and I cannot wait for this program. I don't even know if I'm going to last with what's happening in Israel right now. I am so emotional, but I'm just as excited for everybody to know how important it is that it was God's chosen people and His beloved. So we're going to take a music break now, and we'll join Sarita straight after this. Thank you for being with us this afternoon, family and friends. And, you know, this is a program, you know, my program is about to give hope, wisdom and guidance and knowledge when real life happens in the family. But at the same time, we talk very relevant and often unspoken issues and topics that don't get spoken on the radio very often. But at the same time, this is a time where we try and broaden the scope of religious mindsets and really give you the gospel truth, because the whole Bible is so important to us to understand that Jesus was a Jew at the end of the day. And we need to understand how the Old Testament really leads. We are so important that we don't just live in the New Testament. We need to know what is happening in the Old Testament and understand the preparation that God, Father God, had already done for the coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Sarita has been, got saved 7 years ago, hey? Wow. Yes. And while making her son's bed, which is such a cute story, put tackies on my feet and began to open the word to me in his mysterious and mysterious ways and his mysteries that she'd never heard before. Just suddenly the word came to life. And then she went to Bible school for 2 years. And, you know, in the third year of her studies, the Lord gave her the opportunity to birth Hedge. And since then, it's about 3 years old now, yes, and yes. Many of us go to her events where she celebrates all the festivals and all the events of the Jewish calendar. But at the end of the day, what we're going to talk about today is really very important. Is about our spiritual identity in the Hebrew picture, and it's all in the Old Testament. So Sarita, just explain to us where it all started.
So I think we live in a very important time in history where we can see that Abba is using the house of Judah as a prophetic barometer. So what happens to them in the physical will happen to us in the spirit. So we understand that they are busy going through much warfare. And what I find in the body of Messiah today is that people don't understand our connection with the house of Judah. I call them the house of Judah for a specific reason, because it will come out clear in what that means, the term, the house of Judah, instead of just saying the Jews. What is our relation as Christians to the house of Judah? When the war broke out, everyone was praying against Hamas and the enemy attacking Israel. And I just took a moment and I asked the father, but what is he busy doing in the spirit? Because no enemy has ever in the Old Testament had legal ground or legal right to attack the children of Israel unless the father lifted his hand and he brought judgment on them. So Abba showed me something in scripture. He gave me a scripture that told me what this process was that they were busy going through, that he's busy dealing with them. And that is Psalm 78, verse 34. It says, when he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and sought earnestly for God. Then they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God was their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they flattered him with their mouth, and they lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. So Abba revealed to me that he is busy judging the house of Judah. And the spiritual condition is very questionable. Many Jewish people don't believe in upholding the Torah anymore. There are a lot of secular divisions among the Jews today. And God is calling his people back. This is unveiling. This is an unveiling that's happening to them. But my portion in teaching you today is to understand that we as Christians, we are veiled as well.
Mm.
Because we are veiled to our spiritual identity within the 12 tribes. We are veiled to our positioning in the grafting in of Messiah. And their unveiling, the house of Judah's unveiling, it comes with a great cost. It comes with much blood. Not only Yeshua's blood that was spilled, but he veiled the house of Judah so that we can come into covenant, so that the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, can come into covenant. But an unveiling needs to happen with them also. And this is the process. This is Abba calling a remnant out. And there are much miracles. They are seeing God.
Yes.
They are seeing God in Israel.
And
that is, I mean, how can 200 missiles rain down on a nation and no one gets hurt? No one, there's no casualties. That is supernatural. And I want to say what Abba showed me in the week is that he says that, you know, when we pray in intercession, I call it going up and down the ladder, Jacob's ladder, up and down.
Yes.
But if you have been in a place where you have actually set your feet, and many Christians have set their feet over 2,000 years in Israel, and many Christians are busy praying for them also,
yes.
That is to and fro. That means that you have authority because you've been on that ground to pray for them. And I think that is the wall of covering that comes up over them.
Yes, and that's what's happening in the spiritual realm.
Yes,
you know, it's making thing. Shifting the atmosphere.
Yes, it
oh,
is.
It's incredible.
So, yeah, but we need to understand our identity that is linked with them, because at the end of the day, Messiah is going to return, and he's the New Jerusalem is going to come, and there are 12 gates in the New Jerusalem, and there are 12 tribal names on them. And that is something that we need to understand. And I think that's where the lack of knowledge lies.
Okay. So, you know, at the same time, you know, these things that you have spoken about the Sabbath and all, you know, the actual things that are happening, that happens in how we need to keep to those.
Yes.
So if you can just maybe share with us a little bit on, you know, the importance of, you know, these different
things. Okay.
Things.
So I think before we go there, I need to just lay a foundation of the word itself. So in John 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So the word is God. So in the beginning, when God spoke light into creation, he spoke word, not only that which manifested in the creative, in what was created, but he spoke the full prophetic timeline of creation, the beginning and the end. He's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the beginning and the end, and he's very much the God of the in-between. He meets us there. So when he spoke 22 Hebrew letters. So that is his language, is the Hebrew letters. That's why it's so fascinating to study the word in Hebrew, because every letter has a picture to it.
Mm.
So in God's kindness, he actually, I'm going to say something difficult, he put a lot of pictures together to form a concept that we can understand. Okay, so if I say, for example, we are going for a picnic, what do you see? You understand the concept of picnic. But if you say the same word in picnic in Hebrew, then it already explains the green grass,
the whole picture, the basket,
the everything. Yeah. That's so incredible. That is the difference. So when God spoke light, we think it's light. But in the Hebrew, it means his omnipresence. It means the light of the menorah. It means brilliance. It means his glory. It means ruach, that was spoken in the beginning of creation. So that is the depth of the word. So so in the beginning, God spoke word. And that in Greek is luechos. It means the uttered living voice that embodies conception. So with that, God conceived all things that's going to happen on his timeline. What is so amazing is that we are going to talk about the feasts.
Mm.
So the feasts were set right at the beginning of creation. Before man was even created, he set them all in place. Everything
wow.
that's going to happen from the beginning of the garden right through to the end of redemption, it was spoken on his timeline. So we are just walking out, and as we are walking out and progressing on time, he is bringing his word into fulfillment. So the Old Testament paints a shadow picture of the New Testament. So in the disciples' day, there was no New Testament. There was only the Old Testament. So what does the Old Testament consist of? In Hebrew, they call it the Tanakh. So it is the Torah and the prophets and the writings. So the Torah is the first five books in your Bible. That is the marriage contract that God has with his people. And we are going to look at that today, or in this first few minutes. So that is the spoken word of God before it was given as a written word of God. So when we study the word, I can ask a simple question. If God spoke something in the beginning, in the garden, because the garden has many, many instructions in them. It's not only one, do not do law, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There are many things layered in Genesis 1 to 3 that was walked out by Abram in Genesis 26. It says that that Isaac inherits what was bestowed upon his father because he obeyed my voice, my commandments, my statutes, my law. What law? That is the first word where the word Torah comes from, is in Genesis. But that's way before Mount Sinai. So nothing was written yet Abram was busy keeping covenant, walking with God's instruction. Why? Because there was relationship with the Father. Wow. You see, the Old Testament is about relationship and intimacy, and then faith and obedience. That is how they walked in covenant. Okay, so at Mount Sinai, the word was written. Then we have the cross. Mm-hmm. But now, why do we teach people in church that the Old Testament is fulfilled and that we don't have to obey what the commandments is? But only, and this is my last point before we make a break, but only in the New Jerusalem we will be expected to keep Torah again. So what are we missing? Where is the confusion? Are we confused, or is God confused? But I think we are missing something, because we have layered everything with a grace teaching, and we lack obedience under that banner, and that puts us in hot water.
Yeah, That is a mouthful, but it is so important to understand that God has got such a specific plan with the commandments that need to flow through right through our lives. Mm. And even though we have grace, yes, but we still have to keep to it. It's yes, incredible, actually, that you've, you know, people think that that is put to rest, but he says in the New Testament he's going to write it on our hearts. Why would he do yes, that? Yes. Why would he do that? Yeah. Because it's so important to him mm, that we cannot lose that those laws mm, on our lives. There will be grace added to it, mm, but he writes it on our hearts. Yes. So we're going to take a music break now, and your time flies, but we're going to take a break now, and we're going to join Sarita straight after this. Wow, family and friends. Do we have a very, very interesting guest in the studio with us this afternoon, Sarita Brandt from Hedge Ministries, and she's also an author, and she's got a beautiful, interesting book that she's just completed. It's called The Shofar, and please look it up. She's going to share with her with us how to get it at the end of the program. It's about the biblical symbols, and I think it's so informative because I mean the word is so rich with so many of these things that we don't know anything about. So she's going to be sharing that with us as well. But at the end of the day, I really want us to understand our spiritual identity in the Hebrew picture contained in the Old Testament. So Sarita, the old covenant and the new covenant in Jesus Christ is actually one.
Yes.
So please explain that to us. That it's not two different books,
it's not,
but not two different worlds. It's all one.
Yeah, I think once people hear that you're talking about the law in the Old Testament, then they shut their
down.
Ears because they say things like, "I am not a Jew. The law was fulfilled, so we don't need to look at the Old Testament." And you know what the enemy did is actually positioned a little paper there between the New and the Old Testament. So it's actually a psychological division as well. So just to nail that thing so that you actually don't see how the old flows into the new. There are five covenants in the Old Testament. It's the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and the Davidic covenant. Those things become one fullness in Messiah. Because we are called in the Adamic covenant to rule and reign. The Noahic covenant still stands because there's a rainbow in the sky that testifies of God's faithfulness and the way that he will come to judge. That is still our portion also. The Mosaic covenant is the law written. Okay, so what is fulfilled in the law? There are three aspects to the law. The ceremonial law, moral law, and civil law. So how do we handle each other, moral? How do you conduct yourself in covenant, the civil and the moral law? And then the sacrificial law. The sacrificial law was what was fulfilled. Why was blood needed in the Old Testament? It was there to bring atonement, to cover sins. Hebrews 9 talks about the covering of the blood of animals to atone for people. That is so that you are secured in having a relationship with God. Mm. But in Yeshua, he fulfilled all sacrifices. Galatians 3 verse 13 says that he took on the curse of the law onto himself so that we are redeemed. So that's where the grace comes in the new covenant. Because God still calls us to keep the Sabbath, and we're going to look at that a little bit later. So do you see people that are in covenant with God that do not uphold the Sabbath? Do you see that they are dying on a Sabbath day? No, they are not stoned to death. That is the curse of the law. But it's a grace invitation that comes when the Father invites us to enter the place of intimacy. He's put these road markers in the feast, in the Sabbath, so that we can encounter him. It's actually space and opportunity for us to go into the place of intimacy. Mm. So we need to look at the word a little bit different. We need to look at the word as the marriage contract. So how does a marriage contract work in biblical times? You see, the father pays the bride price on behalf of the groom. That's very fascinating. So you can think that Abba Father, he gave his son as a price for the bride.
Sure.
So that was negotiated in a Hebrew marriage. Within the negotiation, the contract, we call it the ketubah, It means that which is written. There are three aspects to such a contract. It is the bride price, then the promises of the groom in covenant, and then the third thing is the expectation that the groom has of the bride. So if we look at that, we can see it is the promises. If you read the Bible, what do you usually see when God promises something? You see, I will give you the blessing if you obey.
Mm.
It comes with obedience. There's accountability.
A, yeah. When, then, if,
yeah, yeah.
All those.
It's always
with an instruction.
It's always your
it's
surrender.
Good.
It's
That's
always
good.
Your surrender.
It's so a partnership.
It's a partnership. You surrender to my will and then the blessing comes through.
Amen.
So we need to understand what a curse and what a blessing is in the word. A curse is literally, it means self-inflicted pain. It means that when you walk out of the hand of the Father, you're no longer in his hand for protection. And then it's self-inflicted pain. And we get hurt because we open up for the enemy to trample in our life, to come and kill, steal, and destroy. But you were walking in disobedience because that is the goodness of God. Is his law puts a fence of protection. Can I give a, how much time do you have to? Can
yes,
I give an example?
Please do.
We're just flowing as the Holy Spirit leads us.
Absolutely.
So keeping the Sabbath is still very much relevant to us today. And we think that God does not care if we are obedient, but he does. So I'm going to look at Israel's war. I'm going to teach you something there, what happened there that I noticed. The day that the Gazans entered Israel. It was on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. They call it Simchat Torah in Hebrew. That is the day when the people actually start reading the Torah again from the beginning.
Yes.
They read Genesis 1 in the beginning. That's what they are reading. So they were supposed to keep it as a Sabbath. No work, no servile work. They were in their homes. They were supposed to be concealed. And that is protection in itself. So when the enemy boarded Israel, there were four kibbutzes lined up in their firing line.
Yes.
Two of them kept the Sabbath and two of them did not. And the gates were open. From the kibbutzes that were transgressing the Sabbath, and this is a high holy day in on the feast calendar. It's actually the day in fulfillment will be when the New Jerusalem comes. Mm-hmm. The millennial reign of Yeshua will ensue on that. That's the road marker for that feast for us. So the people that were in disobedience, they were the ones that were captured and slaughtered and killed in and raided in their homes. The kibbutzes that were concealed in the Sabbath, they were unharmed.
Okay,
they were not touched. So that is why I'm saying that we need to understand that the Torah is still our marriage contract.
Amen.
God still calls us to adhere to it.
Yes.
As I said, the disciples in the New Testament, they did not have a New Testament. They were busy living it out. Yeshua came and he said, what did he say in Matthew 5? You heard this, but I tell you that. So he was even sifting truth and mixing tradition and religion out from the Jewish people themselves and reteaching them what covenant is, reteaching them the foundation of the Torah. The Torah is a marriage contract. The prophets, they prophesy to the future. They prophesy about Messiah. And then they also called for repentance to what? To the Torah. So Yeshua comes and he says, I did not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to come to fulfill it.
Mm.
And that is something that we need to understand. We need to understand that all the covenants of the Old Testament become one in him. And God still calls us to Shema. Can I say this one Hebrew word? Shema.
Of course. Please, we need to understand all of this.
Yeah,
it's important.
Means obedience. It means obedience. But in the Hebrew picture of Shema, it means to release a sound, a proclamation in the spirit. You need to understand that your obedience is worship poured out to the King. He doesn't want love as we understand love. He wants obedience. He's righteous, holy God. He still commands obedience from us today. And it's not to save you because we are saved by grace, but the obedience brings that covering of protection over us. So it becomes a proclamation. It's actually, it means sound, Shema, to hear, to listen and obey. That's who the word calls us to be, doers of the word, not only hearers of the word. Mm-hmm. So are you making a noise or are you releasing a sound in
sure.
the spirit?
That is powerful.
So you see, Yeshua came to fulfill the sacrificial law. So how do we sacrifice? We are living stones being built up to bring sacrifices pleasing God. And what pleases Him?
His obedience.
It's obedience.
Praise the Lord. That was so powerful. That is such a powerful truth. Thank you for putting it out in a very doable and understandable. We get so confused and it sounds always so complicated, but you've really made us understand how important it is to put the Old Testament, is that the value of the Old Testament and the New Testament, that is actually one, and the fact that we need to be obedient. So we need to be obedient from the beginning of the word to the end of the word. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sarita. We're going to join you straight after this because we're going to talk about the tribes. Eh?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, we're going to take a music break now and enjoy, and we will be with you right away after that. Thank you for staying tuned with us, family and friends. Did we not have two impactful, informative, educated sessions now, really understanding how important our identity is actually in the Hebrew picture contained in the Old Testament. We always seem to minimize what the Old Testament, we just sort of put it in its box and think that's it. And we just live in the new covenant. But it is so important. Sarita has put it out so perfectly and so uncomplicated way of actually really discussing the understanding of it. Mm-hmm. Sarita, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. I'm really, really so privileged and blessed. But you're going to share with us about the 12 tribes as well.
Yes.
And a book is coming out on the 12 tribes. So we're going to give her you're going to give her email address at the end of the day. You have to really go into it because this is a whole new program on its own. But we're going to get an oversight what it is about the 12 tribes.
Yeah, I think this is where the core of our spiritual identity. I think this is why people do not know and understand that they need to view the word as the marriage contract, or they need to view the first 5 books in the Bible as the marriage contract that God gave to His people. And this is because we do not understand our spiritual identity. And the tribes are all about that. You see, God created the garden, and He created mankind in the garden, but man sinned. So His purpose was for them to dwell with Him. And when they sinned, it separated them. But then after the garden, He chose a remnant. And let's begin with Abram. So He called Abram. Abram, many people, when I teach this spiritual identity, I ask them, and maybe we can ask the listeners, do you believe that Abram is a Jew? Because if you have that belief, then you were taught the wrong way, unfortunately, because he was not a Jew. The Jewish people only comes from the house of Judah, the child Judah that Israel bore. That's where the Jewish people come from. So who's Abram?
You see,
Abram was he was part of the bloodline or the firstborns that descended from Adam. And that's a scarlet thread of the word. We don't read all the history about all the nations that were involved and around them. You know, people often ask a question, but there were people outside of the garden. The Bible doesn't tell us where those people come from because that is not the aim. What is the Bible written for? The Bible is written so that you can see what the remnant looked like, that you can see what the chosen ones, and not because God selected them because they were perfect, but because they were the ones that were faith dwellers and they were the ones that walked in righteousness before the Lord. And that became the remnant, that became the seed of Messiah, carrying his bloodline. So Abram was a Chaldean, and he was a pagan. He was called out from a pagan nation and out of the city of Ur. And he had to cross over into the promised land. And that crossing over, you can read in Genesis 14, is the first time where the word Hebrew is written. The native borns of Canaan called him a Hebrew. So what is a Hebrew? A Hebrew is one that crossed over. So it's actually a foreigner. So you're a foreigner. What do we say today? We are no longer of this world, but where are we? We are seated in heavenly places. So we are also a Hebrew. You need to understand that Galatians 3 verse 29 says that because of, if you're in Christ, through faith, you become the part of Abram's seed and heirs according to the promises.
My goodness.
So you're engrafted into this covenant design that God has set out before the foundation of the world to birth his son. Mm. And then we are grafted into that. So it was Abram, Isaac, the child of promise, and then Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with God, and his name was changed to Israel. So from Israel were born 12 children, 12 sons. I'm going to go very quickly now. Okay. Which landed up in Egypt, and then God had to deliver them out of Egypt. But with that point of deliverance, and this is where we need to understand where we fit in. Exodus 12 verse 38 says, a multitude came with them. So the nations came with Israel out of Egypt.
Egypt, that's great.
So I want to ask you that at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19, God presents covenant to the people and he says, are you willing to obey me? Because I'm coming in 3 days to make covenant with you. And they all said, yes, we will do. We will obey what you speak. That is again, obedience, Shema, obedience. Right? So after Mount Sinai, do you read about the Hebrew people on one side and the Egyptian people on the other side? No. It's one bride. They were engrafted into the tribes. So a multitude of nations were at Mount Sinai, the nations plus the 12 tribes. But you never read again a distinction between the stranger and the native born. It becomes one bride because they were circumcised. They bore the mark of covenant. We bear the mark of covenant. What's the mark of covenant? The seal of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Yeshua, we are regrafted in. So God married a bride at Mount Sinai. They crossed over the Jordan, the second generation, and soon then they wanted kings. And this is where everything went misarrayed, because there were only 3 kings that reigned over all 12 tribes. It was Saul, David, and Solomon.
That's correct.
So Solomon subjected himself to idolatry, marrying 700 wives, and God started warning him. And this is the key of our engrafting, because God split the kingdom of Israel into 2 houses, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So Jeremiah 31 talks about the new covenant, right? It says, I will make a new covenant with whom? With the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Does it say denomination or NG Church or AGS or whatever, Roman Catholic Church? Mm. It talks about a new covenant with 2 houses. You see, after God divided the 2 houses into 2 kingdoms, 2 separate kingdoms, he warned them both. He just split them. And then he warned them both to return to covenant, which they didn't. The house of Judah returned with their mouth, but their heart was far removed. So they were exiled to Babylon. They returned. And because they fear being ejected out of the land, they fenced the word with all their traditions.
Okay.
So the oral Torah, the Talmud, the Mishnah, Halacha, and all those extra added rabbinic books. That is where all their tradition come from.
Mm.
We cannot just walk after the house of Judah and do everything that they do, because they do not do everything according to what the word teaches neither. Mm. We have to be very careful. Otherwise, you just swing from one religion to another.
Yes, and so, we're trying to understand that.
Yeah. So that needs to be sifted out too. So the house of Israel, they never returned to covenant. God divorced them. You can read in Jeremiah 3 about the divorce.
Mm,
he divorces them.
Yes, okay. I know that.
And many people don't realize that there was a divorce. So when Yeshua came in the New Testament, there was he faced the women of Canaan. Maybe I can tell just this short version.
Yes, sure.
The women of Canaan that had a little girl demon possessed. And the disciples said to Yeshua, now chase her away, because she's screeching after us. And Yeshua did not answer this woman of Canaan when she came to petition him for healing. He didn't speak to her. How must that have felt to her? But he turned to the disciples and he said to her, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's something that we don't understand. We don't understand who this woman of Canaan is. She's one of she's a bride of Asher in the portion. That's where he was ministering, in Asher's portion. He was calling back his bride there. Mm. So she said she's willing to eat crumbs. So she came by faith, but she prostrated herself before the king first.
Yes.
You see, and then he gave her, and through faith, that's how we enter into covenant. That's how we come into Messiah, is through faith.
Yes.
But you see, they were willing because they know who she was, the divorced ones. And they actually send her away. That is actually, if you look at the Greek picture there, it means let her die. That is what they were asking Yeshua, because she was not in covenant. And that's why Yeshua was also not talking to her. He also engaged the Samaritan woman, which is who? Half Assyrian, half Hebrew. So it was that divorced bride that he called back to covenant. He called us back. We are
Amen.
That bride.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are so, this had me captivated. Thank you so much, Zurita. You have been so informative and I feel totally enlightened. It all makes sense to me now as well. Even though we study the word and that, but we just don't put the whole flow together, and you've just put it perfectly in a nutshell, basically, for us. And thank you so much for sharing with us. May the Lord continuously use you to educate us for all, you know, till he comes, and that we can understand the whole word. So may the Lord just bless your ministry and for years to come. And just tell us where we can. I know you got this book coming. Tell us a little bit about it quickly.
So what I thought now is not even a drop in the bucket.
Yes, but it's a...
It's just to captivate you. So if you want more information about our ministry, you can go to info@hedgeministries.co.za, and then you can ask your questions there, how to get hold of us. And yes, I am in the process of writing a book about all these nuggets that I shared with you today.
Wonderful. I'm going to invite you once that book is done.
Thank you. It'll
be very exciting. So family and friends out there, please keep on praying for our beloved country Israel, and you know, we need to still continuously trust the Lord, even though we know this is all important, it's necessary to be happening. We know this is all part of God's journey with the world, but still we need to continuously pray for the vulnerable and the young and the old and those that are in fear of the whole of Israel, the whole nation of Israel, on both sides of you know, the whole of Israel, all the people involved. So we just ask you, Lord, that you will just go before them and just protect them, like Sarita and them's ministry is called The Hedge. We ask for a hedge of protection around our beloved Israel. So family and friends, we just ask you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that you will just take care, look after yourself, love on each other, and stick to the rules and be obedient to the word. Take this time of the year. It's the year of a double portion of grace, but we know that the Lord is busy working on us and calling us back to him. And this is the time and the year that you need to just turn back. That's all he asks, is turn back to him. We thank you for listening with us and being with us this afternoon. Next week we're going to have Sarita again. She's going to really be sharing another all about the festivals. And in this month, you know, there's so much festivals that have been happening since September, and all the reasons why we need to celebrate them and understand them. So we're looking forward to having you back next week, Sarita. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Take care, family and friends. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.